What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of Teen It Up with CND, the number one sports podcast in Southeast Metro Detroit. We're back. We're back in more ways than one, actually. We're the bulk of this show, the meat of this show, the season for this show is upon us. We have college football to talk about. The NFL starts tomorrow or today as you're listening, with the Cowboys and the Eagles. But first, let's check in with the D himself, Vladdy. What's going on, man?
Doing pretty good. Another year older, another year wiser. Celebrated, had a nice little birthday dinner with some of the local people around, and we went out to have some fun, drank a little bit, and just killed some time last night. Other than that, had a lot of fun this past weekend at the second of three weddings that I have for 2025. As always, drank way too much there. Danced like an idiot because I have zero ability on the dance floor, but I didn't care because I was having a fun time. And yeah, doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. I had a good Labor Day weekend, got back on the golf course, broke my month-long streak with a solid 85, 40 on the back. So one can say I'm also back. Then played in an outing Sunday where I contributed maybe seven shots the whole round. So maybe not. But
Nice.
I don't know. It was interesting because like I had never seen this before. You could. If you had a woman and then you named like a D player, I guess a C player in our case, because we had one woman that got to they got to the woman got to drive from 200 yards out on three holes of their choice, and then you chose somebody to drive from 250 for men's for three holes. So that obviously helped a lot.
That is
Although,
unique.
yeah, I had never seen it before. And really, we just ended up with like the same 60-yard wedge shot every hole, and we somehow got worse at it as the round went on. So, but
The 60 yards wedge shot was about the only thing I could do the last time I played. So I think you were missing a key contributor there. I could have been one of the only few things I can still do on a golf course.
yeah, it sounds like we were, but we've got a nice full episode for you. College football week one. We were talking about how before we got on, how this week two schedule isn't exactly the greatest, but they loaded it up with week one good games, and it delivered in some ways and didn't deliver in other ways. But overall, I was entertainment wise happy with the amount of good games they made in week one.
I missed some of the Saturday night games again with my shitty dance skills on the floor at the wedding, but got to watch the early ones, got to watch obviously the featured Sunday games, the Monday game, which was not much of a game, and we will talk about all that stuff. But yeah, I think it was a great week one.
I figured we could kind of start in chronological order, and that kind of starts Friday night with Michigan State, our team. You got something?
Oh no, I was just gonna pump a fist up because Michigan State, that's our team, go green.
Go White. Michigan State 1-0. They get the nice backdoor cover for somebody like me. Beat
What? What
Western Michigan.
do you mean
What?
backdoor covered? Western covered.
I had Western
Oh,
covered. So
okay, I see.
there's a nice backdoor second strings are in pick six for me. I was going nuts. I guess where do you want to start with Michigan State? It was kind of like a dull game. They came out pretty hot on offense, and then as the game went on, they got colder and colder. Defensively, I know it's Western Michigan, but they look like kind of a more complete team. I know that it's a new coordinator. They look like they know what they're doing a little more, and it looked more coherent than last year. So that's kind of my early observations, but it's really hard to have too much of an opinion. In week one, did I see Aiden Childs take massive steps? No. Did I see him look horrible in that game? At times, yes, but overall, I'm going to say no. I guess Michigan State, what was your opinion on that performance?
I think it is a standard 6.5 out of 10.
Yep.
I think there's, like you said, there's nothing to scream home about because I can't say, oh my God, the defense shut the other team out considering you're playing Western Michigan. So there's not really anything we can draw parallels to and look forward to the rest of the season from that. Like you said, run game was great at the beginning, and then I think they started trying some new things out, maybe started pulling some of the starters, and it became more of a trial run in the second half, and it kind of got ugly. Yeah, you're right. I think, of course, I'd love to win a game 49 nothing the way your kind of top tier teams do, but didn't happen. They did their job. They get a win. I think the maybe a takeaway on Chiles is two more fumbles. This I guess one was lost, one was not, but that was all. That was kind of the second half of the jokes that we made throughout the year of him always coughing up the ball. So need to be a little better there, but he did make some good throws. I think who it wasn't Nick Marsh. Who was the I?
Kelly.
Yeah, Omari Kelly was kind of your standout receiver. I think it's nice to have multiple pieces who can catch passes and who can hopefully be reliable. So I took some comfort in that. And yeah, I'm not really sure what else to say. I mean, I think there might be more to talk about going into Boston College, just about how important that game is.
Yeah, and like it's another game where like yeah, you're playing a Power Five opponent that you lost to last year, but I think they opened as a -3 favorite last I saw. So essentially a pick 'em considering it's a home night game for Michigan State, and we'll see how many answers we get. I'm not so sure because I'm not so sure Boston College knows really what they are either this year at this point in the season. But I don't have much to add. Like you said, it was kind of what I was expecting, to be honest, and it didn't really change my opinion. Jonathan Smith really, really tried hard. He was going all white with that clean white look to act a little cooler. It turned my head for a slight second, then I remembered who was wearing it. But other than that, like you said, 6.5 out of 10, I think, is a fair number for that performance. Any other kind of Friday night? I know Thursday night, Nebraska played Cincinnati. Not really a huge anything there to talk about. Besides Dylan Raiola trying to be Patrick Mahomes even more than he already does. Into Saturday, which was kind of the biggest game as far as rankings wise, although, like you are famous for saying, they can kind of just put numbers on the board at this point of the season and advertise it. And that's kind of what they did as far as this from an on-field entertainment perspective being the least entertaining game of the weekend. And that's Ohio State and Texas. With all that hype, Texas goes into the horseshoe and loses 14-7 to I was calling him a true freshman, red shirt freshman quarterback and Julian Sand, just saying. Jay Sand makes me want to say on the graphic makes me want to say just saying every time I see it. But I think the obvious storyline here is Arch Manning, the most talked about, hyped over quarterback who's never really play a college game yet. Obviously, that's with an asterisk as he started two games last year, but he came out and it was an absolute stinker. It was against a very good defense in a very tough environment in his first real start. But and he obviously he got absolutely clowned, and like I actually am of the opinion that more so than he should have in that environment, but I guess I'd like to hear your thoughts. Let's start with Arch because I think that's the biggest storyline from this game.
Yeah, I mean, ugly might even be an understatement. It started with that very first pass. Sarkisian designs a nice little bootleg, get him throwing on the run to the right, and he throws a ball that was, I think, 5 feet short of his tight end, who was wide open. And it never really got that much better. He never got settled. There wasn't a rhythm. And this is not only on him, because some of that play calling was pathetic. And yes, you're not coming out there, you're not gonna run four verts every play like it's a Madden game at the horseshoe in your first week, but they never really, I don't want to say didn't give him a chance, but that was poor from everyone. Sarkisian was awful. Arch mechanics, I mean, the arm strength, he
That
looked
was
like
what
he
I
was
was going to get
throwing
into.
some wounded ducks at
Yeah.
points.
It
And
looked really awkward too. I
yeah.
haven't seen him throw much, but that was my biggest like worry is that the ball he was throwing in general. It's not that he's making these Aiden Childs bad misses. Like like you said, the mechanics and the arm strength just looked awful.
Yeah, decisions were not great. Trying to force a couple passes, resulting in an interception, and maybe should have been another one.
Right.
we will also have to credit the Ohio State defense.
For sure.
They are great, and maybe I was a little too harsh on NFL Matt Patricia and just assumed that he shouldn't or can't succeed at college at the collegiate level, because he did have him in hell moving Caleb Downs around like a chess piece, like the queen on the board just going everywhere. That was they absolutely had Arch in a blender. Now, with that said, you talk about the expectations and the clowning. Does he deserve it? No. Are we going to indict a kid? Of course not. Like you said, first start, terrible situation to make your first start. It's maybe one of the toughest places to play in America. 105,000 people, now the number one team in America, defending national champions. It is what it is. My biggest annoyance was all of the talking heads in the media afterwards saying, "Oh, let's taper our expectations." It's like, you're the ones who fucking push those
Yeah.
expectations. Like, why do you th Arch Manning preseason Heisman favorite, Texas preseason number one. Everyone talk about, "Oh, he's just going to sit there and he's going to be the number one pick, the number one pick." And his grandpa has to come out and say, "No, he's not. He needs 2 more years
Right.
off."
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's just a negotiating tactic. He's the number one pick. And then he comes out and has a stinker. Oh, let's taper our expectations. Like, you don't get to sit there, inflate the tires, have it blow up in your face, and then blame someone else for it. It's like you're the one pumping the tire, N not us.
The Arch Manning, like the dogging too, didn't help that like you would watch him make like just throw it at somebody's ankles 3 times in a row, and then you'd watch all four commercials have him in it.
Yep.
So
Yeah,
that didn't help either.
that part annoyed me, kind of how people reacted afterwards. I think maybe the last thing, and I don't know if this is another hot take, but he looked like he was closer to needing 3 more years in college than he was to being a number one pick.
Yeah.
And look, here's the other thing. This isn't year two. This is year three for him,
Yeah.
with Sarkisian in the exact same offense. So maybe there's a little bit of telling, a little tell to that, because was Quinn Ewers a good game manager for Texas last year? Sure. But Quinn Ewers was never a great quarterback that was going to light it all up. And if you couldn't
Great.
keep that out in year two, maybe there's some question marks there. And you absolutely at this stage are looking at 2 more years in school. Right? That was ugly. On the Ohio State side, Julian Sain was marginally better.
Right.
Yeah, I think they tried to get Jeremiah Smith in that game early and often, because last year when they played each other, Texas did a great job of taking Smith out of the game. I think they mentioned it was like one catch for 3 yards in the entire game when he played last year. They gave him some nice manufactured screen passes early, gave him some under routes, and tried to get the ball in his hands. He had two drops. I will throw that out there. And he ended up changing his gloves in between the first and second quarter. And to his credit, I don't think he dropped another pass. So that was entertaining. Yeah, not much else. We're not indicting people. We're learning more about these teams in the first couple of weeks. And just I think the best thing to say was this was an absolute pillow fight. And if you want to talk about Michigan State being a 6.5 out of 10 performance in game, this was a 1.5 out of 10 performance in game.
Yeah, and but like I also have this feeling that like the overreaction of like, oh wow, these two teams are terrible now, like I don't think that's true. They are probably two top 10 teams still, I think,
Of
playing
course.
against each other, and it's just a matter of the two best units on that field were the two defenses, and I think that will stay that way while also they're also both allowed to, with young quarterbacks, kind of develop and build their offensive identity as the season goes on. And they will against weaker opponents. I guess in the afternoon slate, the big storyline is Alabama loses to Florida State, actually gets their ass kicked by Florida State. The Kalen DeBoer era, he's 5-5 in his last five. He's 4-4 against non-ranked teams in his era at Alabama so far through one season and one game. Unacceptable. It's crazy to see the fans react now. They're so funny, the coping mechanisms that are going on online that I've seen on like their Alabama radios. They don't know how to react to this, and they're essentially turning into what the mess was pro immediately prior to Nick Saban, because that offense looked awful. The quarterback, where's he from again?
I think he's been at Bama the whole time.
No, the Florida State kid.
Oh, Boston College, Tommy
Right.
Castellanos, baby.
Yes. He looked great. He called a shot. He talked some shit before that game. He's like, they don't have Nick Saban to Sam. And he went around and threw the ball around the yard and really had a nice day and backed it up after the game too. So I also think Florida State is a game where they were a double-digit favorite, but they weren't going to come in with a 3-9 record. He's attacked the portal really nicely. It's still a premier program, even though they play in the ACC for now. I know the lawsuit has made it a little easier for them to leave. I kind of expected somewhat of a bounce back year from Florida State, and that's one way to get it started is to beat Alabama.
Yeah, you talk about the domination. Tommy Castellanos threw the football 14 times in four quarters. He only completed nine passes. I think Florida State had like 250 rushing yards or something of that magnitude, averaging 5 yards a carry on volume. It was incredible. You brought up the 5-5 in their last 10 games. I heard that Alabama now has as many losses as a double-digit favorite under DeBoer. They did in Saban's entire 17
Correct.
years or
Yep.
14-year stretch. It might turn out to be a very quick stay in Tuscaloosa for him. And I think the other thing that I saw in the culture thing, and I don't want to overplay it, but I don't know if you saw some of the videos of the Alabama players warming up. Caden Proctor is sitting there in his little pass pro stances with his phone in his hand. That would have Nick Saban would have thrown him off the team if he saw that.
Yeah.
You had guys sitting there with their headphones jumping up and down, doing hop, skip, and jumps. It's just, yes, it's easy to beat on them when they're down because they just had this bad game. And if you want to look at the glass half full, Alabama also has a very young quarterback, and they're maybe trying to establish an identity within the DeBoer offense that's focused on timing and windows.
Young and experienced, the kid's been there for 4 years.
But he's never played. But yes, I'm with you. I said that's why I preface this as the glass half full, because I am definitely on the glass half empty side, where Bama's in their lowest AP poll ranking, I think they said in 12. 18 years or something like that. It might have been the first ever Saban era where they went 6-6, something like that. And then afterwards, it was all gas. But yeah, it was just ugly. Congrats to Mike Norvell and, like you said, Florida State on using the bounce or looking like they're going to have a bounce back year and kind of go in and maybe be a force in the ACC. But wow, that's all I can say. That might have been the shock of the weekend.
I know the ACC kind of went 2-1 in those games, but those performances kind of locked down that top chunk, I'll say, of the ACC is legit for now, obviously, because that kind of segues, unless you had anything else in the 330. So like the only other game I paid attention to was Penn State and Nevada, and that's really not worth talking about. A crazy last second non-cover by Penn State, allowing Nevada to score a touchdown, but
Can't say I was watching Penn State Nevada, so
no, it
I think we
was.
move on to the nightcap, where I'm going to need to lean on you because, like I said, I was MIA for that one.
And I'll be honest, didn't watch a second of it, fell asleep at 8 o'clock.
Old man Connor.
Yeah. But that game, Tigers versus Tigers, Death Valley versus Death Valley, LSU at Clemson. LSU gets their first opening game win in the Brian Kelly era, 17-10. Another low scoring game where it was 10-3 at the half, and LSU had to come back and win behind some good. I'll call it like good in the second half quarterback play from Nussmeier, who in a battle between two guys who very well could be in a Heisman race. Nussmeier, I thought, not only numbers wise, but attitude wise, and in the second half when it really mattered, showed that he was the better guy and that he's the guy to beat, I think. It wasn't the sexiest game for him, but he went out on the road in a big environment and got what he needed to get done in the second half. From Klubnik, a guy who I haven't been too high on. I think you're kind of on the non-too high as well. Oh, it's his third year in this offense. He's kind of showed signs. He brought him to the playoffs last year. He was mediocre at best that game. He kind of went along the lines of some very overall bad quarterback play, I thought, in college football in week one. And really is another defensive showdown. LSU's defense is going to be scary Harold Perkins actually played and actually looked like Harold Perkins. The hype behind Harold Perkins, he was kind of running around, had Cade Klubnik scared all night. And that's really all I got, X's and O's. It was just, I believe in this LSU team. I think I said in my preview that I'm choosing to believe in this LSU team more than years in the past. And I did say it was believe it when I see it. This is a good start. This is kind of the start. You have another tough schedule. You beat what I still think is a legit LSU team. And another game that was kind of a dud from as far as firepower. It was a one score game and went down to the last drive. But I think our two teams that are going to be playoff teams and maybe just had to play each other week one.
Yeah, I can't add anything to it, like, because didn't watch it though, but from things I did hear, I think the defense is maybe the biggest one where you kind of maybe not knew, but Nussmeier as a returner was expected to be a leader and someone who could kind of get it done when it mattered. But the Brian Kelly LSU defenses have been suspect, if we'll say. And if they are going to come out there, stifle a Cade Klubnik, stifle a Clemson team that you typically associate with kind of good offenses in Death Valley, or in Death Valley, is Clemson called Death Valley? Why am I drawing a
Yeah,
blank here? I
they
think it is.
both are. That was the thing.
Okay, yeah, you do that on the road. That was incredible, and I guess we'll see what they do.
Yep. And then I guess on to Sunday.
Notre Dame, Miami.
Probably the more entertaining of the big ones.
Yep.
Miami gets it done. What I would call the biggest surprise of the three big games, in my opinion. 27-24. Cristobal relies on his kicker late, the guy that he had named his kicker like 48 hours prior to the game to kick a 47 yarder with a minute left, and it worked out for them. Notre Dame, kind of a. My first thought, because I was out and didn't get to watch a ton of the end, I watched most of the middle of it. My first thought is this is kind of. We talked about Brian Kelly hitting, getting his first win in an opening game is. Marcus Freeman has kind of built a reputation for coming out slow with some of his teams. Obviously, the first year they lose the first two or three games of the season, one of those to Marshall. They lose the game last year to Texas A&M in, I think, week two. And then this year, losing to Miami. That's my impression on Notre Dame. Their performance in general didn't make sense to me. You have the guy who's supposed to be the best running back in the country, and you just kind of. For a lot of stretches that game seemed to kind of refuse to give him the ball and then kind of forced him the ball towards like some stretches of the game. I thought from an offensive perspective, it didn't really make sense. CJ Carr, I thought was actually okay for making his first debut. I thought it could have gone a lot worse there. And then on the other side for me is Carson Beck. That's the other storyline I want to talk about. Because I think Georgia in particular and most of the rest of the country kind of wrote him off after a mediocre season last year and maybe wrote him off to a little less than what he was. And I think we had diminished his what he had done the seasons prior to a lesser or greater extent than we should have. And he kind of proved himself. I think he's going to be legit in that offense. They've got some guys he can throw it to. And I think this is a legit team that can win. Now, Miami always kind of does this. They come off hot with a big win or something and then find ways to lose games. But they didn't give up 48 points like they had to do every game last year with Cam Ward and against a pretty good offense. So it was my biggest surprise, even though I bet on Miami. I woke up and just had that intuition. But thoughts on this game?
You forgot to mention catch of the year,
Oh, yeah.
in at the end of the first half, where the guy's almost like backwards with the one hand, snags it down in front of the two defenders, and that was actually a massive moment right before halftime. I think another thought that I had was Jeremiah Love loves hurdling people. I think I watched him, especially in that first half, attempt four or five hurdles, and a couple of them worked out to an extent where maybe he got an extra yard or whatever, but you're going to kill yourself doing that. So I think maybe he should lay off a little bit on that. Other than that, you touched on most of it. The quarterback difference in experience, Carson Beck, who has been there, who has played in games, and then a child in CJ Carr. Obviously, he, like you said, he was good enough from an early standpoint. And yeah, the Notre Dame team is kind of notorious for coming out slow. You missed you missed the Northern Illinois loss last year
Yeah,
at
I
home.
do. I knew I was missing a big one.
Yeah, I actually think the last thing I have, and maybe this is a weekend as a whole. I had a bad weekend. I took Clemson, took Notre Dame, hammered Bama, kind of not in gambling senses, but when we were talking about these in the lead up last week, it was, oh, I've got these guys, these guys, these guys, and these guys, these guys, and these guys did not help me out. At least I got OSU though.
Yeah, that was the only one I didn't get,
Yeah,
so.
bad week for me.
I guess the only other thing is Monday. I didn't watch that game. I couldn't even get myself to watch it. And I'm kind of glad I didn't in the Belichick's return, I almost said return, but debut in college football. I chuckle because it was what it was. They lose by 30 points to a TCU team who knows where they'll be in the Big 12. And I think the Big 12 is even less decided after some of the results in week one. But what did you see from North Carolina?
Not a whole lot, and that was the problem. They started quickly. I think they scored on the opening drive, and it was like Bill Belichick's here. We got the legends in the house: Jordan, Roy Williams, Randy Moss is here. And then TCU kind of got their feet under them, and that second half specifically was just bloody murder. Fans exiting the stadium by midway through the third quarter, and just bitterness.
I don't want to react too hard because, like, this is year one. They had 70 something new guys on this roster.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be an ugly season. They're probably not going to be a bowl team. And I don't want to like Jonathan Smith like I have with Jonathan Smith, but this just can't work out, in my opinion. And it's crazy to say, I know, compared to, we're one game in with a legendary coach, but I just can't see this working out now that I got to see it live, and obviously I saw the worst of it.
Well, you know what's going to be funny is I still think that this college thing is just boredom. I think he wants to go back to the NFL.
Oh, for sure.
And you talk about the whole 70 new players. If an NFL job opens up next season, his name will definitely be thrown around. And if he takes it, you're going to have 70 new players again in 2026. So, I guess good on North Carolina for getting some hype and getting a Monday night football game, but yeah, this will be a long season.
But it is funny that they got all that hype and all the stars around it. It's like we like acted for a second that like North Carolina, yeah, they've had some very good talent actually come out of there into the NFL, but like it's not a storied football program historically.
No, but I think that was it. You talk about the recent talent. I think that was just a credit to who Mac Brown was. Like Mac Brown was a legendary football coach,
But they all, I'm
especially.
saying they also have historically some good players come out of there. They just don't really have much history in terms of winning at any bit of a high level.
Is there any other college games? They're from the weekend or no?
Not that I can think of.
All right, then I guess the last thing I want to say at the college level before we jump into the Micah Parsons trade is this Boston College game. I know I wanted to mention as we were talking, but you kind of jumped ahead, so we'll come back to it. I think this genuinely might be the most important game for Michigan State since the 2021 season, because if they come out and lose again, all of this hype of, oh my God, the Mun tailgate's back and we've got fireworks and smoke now, nobody's going to give a shit. You lose at home, you're going to go back to playing in front of 30,000 people and your quarterback fighting for a 6-6 season and yelling at fans for not being there. It's like,
I don't, are they even there yet, though? Like, I don't even know if there's enough hype there yet to even really say that.
I'm not going to say hype, but it's like I think there has, like I said, I've been one of the more pessimistic, you know me, one of the most pessimistic fans on planet Earth. I've been cautiously optimistic about this team. We talk about the additions on the offense. We can't lose this game, not at home.
I agree. But I also have no expectations for this team personally, so
Yeah, see,
that's
you're the
tough.
pessimist now. But yeah, I mean, people have been talking. Munn's back. Now we need to get the chariot back.
What does that mean, Munn's back? Like,
They're allowing tailgating at the Munn Field for like the first time in 20 years or something.
oh, okay.
Yeah, that was the big news before the season, and then it was like
Is
we've
that
been
not
surprised.
because they built a giant building where one of the bigger tailgate spots are and are redoing the tennis courts? So you can, those are two of the biggest spots that you can't
Yes,
tailgate
valid. Very valid, but yeah, so that's just what I wanted to mention. So this will be a very good, I don't even say litmus test, because Boston College is nothing special. This is just like, this is one of those midterms that you have to pass. Can't fail this one.
Agreed.
To the NFL, and the biggest news before we kick off the season, and the team that will be playing tomorrow night that no longer has one of its star players. Micah Parsons gets traded to the Packers for two first round picks and Kenny Clark. He gets $48 million a year, which shatters the T, I believe it's TJ Watt now, $41 million a year of non-quarterback money
Yep.
per year. Puts an end to one of the uglier contract disputes I've ever seen, at least in the NFL. And I think it might actually be the biggest NFL trade going back to Khalil Mack in 2018. The other two that come to mind are maybe Tyreek Hill and Deshaun Watson.
I was thinking McCaffrey.
Yeah, McCaffrey can get thrown up there as well.
Didn't have the. Yeah, I would not put those on the same tier as your two, but
Yeah.
sorry.
No, it's just that's kind of what happened. I'm actually kind of glad that it happened at the end of last week, so we've had a little bit of time to digest, because I think that had we done this recording on a Wednesday when the news broke a day before, a couple hours before, I would have sat here a lot more upset and, oh, why aren't the Lions trying? Why aren't the Lions trying? This is what teams that try do. And there is still a sense of that where it's like we get up and we listen to Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes talk about Marcus Davenport and how fucking great he is every press conference, and how we believe in him, and how that's why we're good at defensive end. But the Packers are showing that they believe in Jordan Love. They believe in this young kind of football team that they've built. And now's their window for the next 2 seasons before they have to kind of start paying some of these guys. With that said, there is kind of a flip side to it where Micah Parsons does not stop the run. Teams have figured that out, and teams have exposed that in, especially in playoff games, where it's like if you see Micah Parsons, you run at Micah Parsons, and he becomes a lot less effective and a lot less scary. With that said, this is an he's an unreal player. He is the first of, or he's the second player ever to start their career with four straight 12 plus sack seasons alongside Reggie White, who also ironically was traded to the Packers at one point in his career. It's a guy that you pair next to Rashawn Gary, and you have a top three defensive end pairing in football, maybe alongside the Texans with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. Maybe the Giants come into play here with the plethora of edge rushers they have. And it's just it's a move that signifies we believe that our time is the next 2 years. We're gonna try and do it. Yeah, that's where are your thoughts on that?
I'm a little scared because in my head I think I've said in past episodes how I didn't necessarily believe much of the Packers hype. I think a lot of that stems from I truly don't believe Jordan Love is a true franchise quarterback personally. I think he's kind of right on that bubble. But like you said, this is a move you don't make unless you feel you are right there, you're in a division that you can win. And you want to extend, keep that window going, and maybe possibly extend it an extra year or two. They do that. I will say it's easier to do that in an organization like the Packers, where you don't have one man making a decision for a lot of those stuff, as far as they're kind of obviously owned by committee or shareholders.
Yeah, but the shareholders aren't the GM. You do have a GM.
Right. But my point is, you don't have a Jerry Jones.
Fair enough.
For lack of a better way to put it. but it had to happen eventually. I'm a little scared to have him in the division. I do understand the pushback with some people, despite how talented he is, to spend $48 million. And I know your argument is always the cap is invisible. It sets the market, and the market will just keep going up. I don't like the market just can't keep going up. Like I do think like there has to be some kind of a bubble eventually. Maybe it's not within the time frame that Micah Parsons is going to play in the NFL, but to throw away what I think is still a good young core, the two first round draft picks is you've set your window now, and now I don't think you've necessarily done. You haven't exactly extended this young core's future. You've just said that this young core has to perform now, given the lack of picks, and that they're not going to get much help from here on out. So we'll see, because I maybe thought they were a step behind in terms of where they were at to make this move. I would have liked to see the Lions do this, honestly. I know that's not really realistic, having him and Hutchinson, who will probably be making more at the end of next season. But, yeah, that's kind of my opinion. I'm a little scared, and I do think that kind of makes them the front runner in this division, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring the money up because that is my thought process where I have fully flipped from I think maybe 2, 3 years ago where it was like, oh, like these guys just want way too much. They do, but the cap's going up 10, 15, 20% every single year. And like you said, Aiden Hutchinson this time next year probably has a contract in front of him for $49 million, if not 50. And then
Right.
it'll be time for Trayvon Walker to get 51. And then it'll be time for the next guy and the next guy, and Will Anderson will get 52. So yes, it's an incredible financial commitment for a non-quarterback. It's an incredible draft capital commitment. You lose Kenny Clark, which weakens your interior run stuffing ability, your interior pressure ability. But this kind of player rarely becomes available. I also think from the Cowboys' perspective, I think they waited maybe a year too late to do this. You can't pay top end receiver money, top end QB money, and top end DN money because then you turn into the Toronto Maple Leafs, and 60% of your salary cap is in three players, or maybe not 60, but you the point.
Is
So that part becomes. I understand why the Packers or the Cowboys did it. I think it was a year too late. And I think their mistake was probably paying Dak Prescott what they paid Dak Prescott.
right.
But we're not here to discuss Jerry Jones's organizational failures. We can have a nice summer topic next year when they probably do some other dumb shit and add to the list of mistakes from the last 15 years. But I agree. This definitely puts the Packers as the betting favorites, as the assumed favorites for this division, but it doesn't guarantee anything.
No.
And I mean, look, I brought up Khalil Mack. Didn't work out for the Cow or for the Bears. You know, Cody Parkey had to come in and hit the post twice on a field goal and gave the Eagles a Super Bowl because of it.
Right.
But that team was nasty. I think they were 13-3 at the time, best defense in football, and had us thinking Mitch Trubisky could be a franchise quarterback. So I think that this Packers defense will be very, very scary. And I think it's awesome that that's our very first game of the year now. I think it adds
Yeah.
another element for us.
Yeah, it definitely does. And it's almost a good thing to get one of those games out of the way
True.
in that sense of the way. But we shouldn't be afraid of anyone still.
Well, I'm not afraid of them in a, I'm afraid of the fact that.
No, and I'm the one that also said I was afraid. So I'm being a hypocrite right now.
No, I just think it's, you sit there and make this about the Lions. I think you operate or our Brad and Dan are kind of operating under this assumption that there's an infinite window. There's not an infinite window. The only time you
Right.
get an infinite window is when you have a top two quarterback of all time in Mahomes or Brady. Those are the only two infinite windows the sport has ever seen. You don't have Mahomes or Brady at quarterback. So I would like to see a move. You know that. I've yelled about it. I've screamed about it. I've texted about it. I've ranted about it on this. I'd like to see the Lions say, hey, we believe in our young team, and we're going to say you need to perform for the next 2 years because we believe in you, as opposed to just sitting there and just playing the, oh, you know, I'd rather be good for 15 years than great for 3, and because good will get me a chance. I don't think it does, but we'll watch the games and we'll see how it unfolds.
Right. Anything else before we kind of recap our first football show?
No, I'm glad to have football back. We'll be able to talk NFL and college. And yeah, I've got nothing
Green.
else, so
Yeah, go green. Let's beat
yes,
the Eagles.
go white. Massive game.